If you enjoy podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Hopeful Hints, hosted by Dr. Tara, guides and supports those on the often challenging and isolating journey of women's health concerns and infertility. There's a particularly powerful episode that you should check out called All Things Endometriosis, which dives deep into understanding the condition to help the many women who suffer from endometriosis and have no idea they have it, and healthcare providers who are uneducated about it, making the diagnosis process so difficult. Check out Hopeful Hints on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.
Welcome to the On the Road to the Gambia podcast, where we are bridging boundaries for global health equity. I am Dr. Carol Penn, doubly board certified in family medicine and obesity medicine. I am a best-selling author and a master meditation, movement, and mindset coach, serving as the director of Tracks and Electives, assistant professor of family medicine at our nation's newest medical school, Rocky Vista University, Montana College of Osteopathic Medicine. I am the proud co-founder of the Institute for Community Evolution. Together with Sunuryu, the University of the Gambia, Penn Global Visions, and the Edward Francis Smalls Teaching Hospital, we are fostering a new era of global healthcare collaboration. I'm excited to bring you the amazing stories of 15 clinicians from the U.S. who will travel to the Gambia and exchange cutting-edge knowledge with Gambian medical professionals to uplift communities and empower each other to become compassionate and culturally sensitive healthcare leaders on both sides of the Atlantic. So put on your headphones and listen as we explore this transformative journey to the Gambia.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the On the Road to Gambia podcast. I am your host, Dr. Lisa Herbert, a board-certified family physician, best-selling author, speaker, and executive leadership coach. And I help physicians transition into leadership roles so that they can be their respective voices in healthcare. So I'm excited today to bring another guest, Dr. Randy Nelson, and we're going to be talking about this upcoming trip that we are all embarking upon. So this podcast, as you know, is highlighting the steps of 15 clinicians from the United States embarking on a transformative journey with the Institute for Community Evolution, Sunuryu, University of Gambia, Penn Global Visions, the Edward Francis Small Teaching Hospital, to foster a new era of global healthcare collaboration. So I'm excited today, again, to bring you Dr. Randy Nelson. So I'm going to just read her bio and let you know all the fabulous things that she's doing. And then we're going to get into some questions. So Dr. Nelson is faculty and a researcher for the Gambia Collaborative Project and president of the Nelson Media Group and founder of Ladynomics Financial Wellness Business. Dr. Randy B. Nelson is also a nationally recognized author of two Amazon bestsellers. She's a speaker and also a consultant. In addition, she is a sought-after media expert regarding children and young adult health issues. She is known to be authentic, compassionate, and intelligent. Dr. Nelson is a board-certified pediatrician, and she's currently a general pediatrician for Sun River Health Center, a federally qualified health clinic, which is a federally funded nonprofit health center that serves medically underserved areas and populations. She, along with the medical director, established the pediatric department. Dr. Nelson is a graduate of the State University of New York at Buffalo, New York's in the house, Oxford University, and Stony Brook University School of Medicine. She completed a pediatric residency at Jacoby Medical Center at the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where special emphasis was placed on primary care. As a result, graduates of the Jacoby residency are well-prepared for a career delivering primary care. She was also a general pediatrician in Oakland, California, with Stanford Children's Group for 3 years, where she served as the Practice Advisory Committee as a member, the Packard Children's Health Alliance Investment Committee, and a clinical instructor for the University of California at San Francisco, where she precepted and mentored medical students. During her time there, she served the underserved pediatric population of the East Bay of San Francisco. And in addition to all of this, she has experience in the business world, having served as vice president at Citigroup and accountant supervisor at Morgan Stanley Investment Bank. Dr. Randy.
It's a lot.
A lot to talk about. It's a lot, but it's inspiring to see your journey from finance and investment banking to medicine. So I think we're just going to start right there. So, okay. You know, just give us all the tea, give us all the information about how you did that transformation and what was instrumental in you just, you know, making that journey into the medical field.
Wow. So I am Dr. Randy B., MD, board certified pediatrician and financial wellness expert, where I provide your RX to wealth and financial well-being. So my journey, you know, when I was a teenager, I wanted to be a doctor, but I didn't think I could do it. So I went into business. That seemed, you know, feasible, attainable. So I, you know, did everything I had to do. I got my degree in accounting. I secured a job in New York City. I'm working with Morgan Stanley, one of the top investment banks in the country. Got my MBA. Then I moved on to Citigroup, the largest financial services company in the world, actually. And I did that for 14 years. But I lost my father in the year 2000. I witnessed the destruction of September 11th. Mm. And, you know, when you go through major events like that in your life, I used it as an opportunity to kind of sit back and just take a really good look in terms of what I wanted to do. So I decided I wanted to go into medicine and become a doctor. So I did my prereqs while I was working as a VP, did my prerequisites, took the MCAT, and I got accepted to Stony Brook Medical University on Long Island. So I did that for 4 years, did residency, and now I've been an attendant for 12 years.
Wow. What an amazing journey. I mean, I can't even imagine studying and then also having a full-time job. Yeah. So that was a lot. So, I mean, you have broken so many barriers just in doing that alone. Mm-hmm. And now that you're sort of, you know, on the other side, you know, practicing medicine, tell us a little bit about what that looks like. Like, what is your day like as a pediatrician? Who do you serve? What challenges do you face? And what are the things that sort of just brighten your day?
Well, so I work, I'm from Long Island, which is the suburbs of New York City. So it's kind of, you know, it's kind of interesting because I, you know, leave my suburban life and I head to the South Bronx of, you know, New York City. Mm-hmm. Very different worlds, but I love it. I absolutely love it. So I get on a train, catch the subway, get to my job, and I just see my patients. I just start the day. You know, it's a federally qualified health clinic, like a community center, health center. And my patient population is really the socially, economically disadvantaged, mostly shelter patients, homeless patients. Mm. So, you know, life can be very rough for them just on a day-to-day basis. So I really, really try my best to bring my best face forward to make the visit as easy and seamless as possible and for them to get complete, comprehensive, and good care. And that's what I do day in and day out. I finish my day, I hop back on the subway, I hop back on the Long Island Railroad, and I'm back at home. And I do that every day, but I love it. I really enjoy it.
So Dr. Randy, as a New Yorker,
okay.
How do you take the train every day? I mean, I just have nightmares of that train system in New York.
I always just have the attitude that you just do what you have to do. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, it can be challenging, but I'd rather not drive to work.
I don't absolutely.
Because I know I can't deal with traffic and Like that I can't do, because you know, the couple of times I've done it, I come home and I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
So train, I can listen to my music, I can read, I can sleep. That's what I do a lot of times, to just knock out and just get ready for, you know, just get ready for my day. So yeah, I've been commuting for over 30 years. So it's nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, like that.
So you're used to it. Yeah. I'm used to it. Yeah. It's part of your routine.
Yes.
Yeah. So, you know, I also know that, you know, sort of being raised in New York, living in New York, we're always like exposed to the unexpected, right? Mm-hmm. Something's always changing. Something's always happening around us. So we kind of learn to quickly adjust.
Yes.
And just sort of, like you said, just make it work. So thinking back, maybe even doing your own training or practice, what can you remember that was sort of like sudden or just kind of like was unexpected that really impacted the way that you sort of live life now, personally or professionally?
I have to say COVID, the whole COVID epidemic. I mean, one day we were just doing our thing. The next day, everything shut down, literally. And you know, yeah. was impacted severely with with the pandemic. I mean, I wasn't in the hospital, so I didn't see it from that standpoint, but I worked continuously. I worked every day, but we had like a, you know, we had a modified schedule, but at least three times a day I was going into the city. So literally one day it's bustling, it's hustle and bustle, you know, doing a thing. And the next day, empty. There were times I was on the subway car by myself.
Wow.
By myself.
Wow.
Get off at the subway, walk in Midtown, not a car on the road. I'm just like walking down 7th Avenue, like no problem. Like it was surreal.
Mm.
It was really surreal. And, you know, I still continue to see patients, but, you know, we had to take precautions. You know, I'm so grateful that I worked with the organization that I do work for, because they were able to pivot quickly, like this.
Yeah.
And I was really, really impressed. One of the things I also appreciated, because I know a lot of doctors were affected financially. You know, I'm a financial person, right? So I'm always common sense. And you know, I didn't experience any cut in my pay, even though patient population, you know, the patient, you know, like we had to, you know, we had to pivot. We had to go to telemedicine, you know, couldn't see as many patients as you know, we normally would see initially. And so I was really grateful for that, because that, you know, that was a concern. And that happened. I can't think of anything else that really was it. In mass 24/7, but 9 to 5. You know, you're in the during your day in the clinic, on the subway, trying to stay safe.
Once
opening up again. So that has to be it.
Yeah. And has that in any way changed how you practice now?
Hey, leading ladies, stay right there and we will be back with my amazing guests. This conversation is so good that you don't want to miss it. So stay tuned.
Well, I mean, I think once you go through something as significant as that, you're really going to, you're going to practice. I wouldn't say you still practice the way the way you've always done, or. But you do have some heightened sense, and there's always that, okay, are we going to go through this again? Do we have to, I'm sorry, there's a bug in my face. There's been a little uptick in the past couple of weeks. So
sure. Yeah. So it becomes something that we learn to, I think, adjust to.
Right. Yeah. You know, we had to go, we had a couple of weeks ago, a couple of months ago, we were told we don't have to wear masks. And now you're like, okay, well, are we going back to this? Or anyway, as a precaution, because I'm coming in contact different people, you know, my patients. So that's always going to be, I don't think we'll ever like move away from that.
Yeah. Yeah. So thinking about, you know, this upcoming trip and the population that we're going to serve, you know, the medical community that we're going to become intertwined with, right, yes, over these, you know, over this week or 2 weeks.
Yes.
First, let's just start by talking about like what even just inspired you to want to volunteer your time and expertise to go to the Gambia and be a participant in this collaborative project.
First, we're going to the motherland. Oh my gosh. I mean, come on. That is everything to me. All right. I cannot wait to step. I've been to Africa once, Northern Africa, but to go to the Gambia and step foot, that's where we came from. That's
right.
Home.
Right.
I cannot wait to experience that. And to do that, to be there doing something that I love, which is medicine, teaching and interacting with medical students. I mean, I was there, you know, not too long ago. So I'm excited about meeting, just being exposed to a whole new culture in this realm of medicine, mm-hmm. learning from my colleagues there and from students there and sharing what I've learned, especially, with me dealing with the population that I deal with.
Yes.
It's different from working with, like, say, a middle-class population. Things you have to deal with. So I can't wait. I just love that. And to give back, that's everything to me.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, definitely something that rings true for a lot of us, right, that are going there. It's just this opportunity to reconnect again,
right,
you know, with our culture, with our history.
Right.
And also to be able to utilize some of the things that we were fortunate enough to be able to garner in terms of our education and bring that over there.
Right. Right.
So when you think about that, like, what qualities and knowledge do you think you'll be able to bring during this trip, you know, with your background?
Well, I'm a pediatrician. So, you know, pediatrics is all about preventive care. So I am really looking to exchange what I know in terms of keeping kids healthy. Mm-hmm. And one of the benefits of my background is, you know, I work with a population that can, you know, sometimes may not be able to afford certain things. So you got to be a little creative or you got to take certain steps to make sure that they're getting the help that they need. There's certain things you just cannot take for granted when you work with the population that I work with. So I'm hoping to bring whatever I learned, whatever I have to do on a day-to-day basis,
mm-hmm.
the Gambia, because I know their conditions, from what I know, what I understand. Of course, I'm going to learn more once I get there, but I know it's not easy there either to access medical care.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm hoping to just trade information. I can learn from them and they can learn from me.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we think about preventive, right, preventive medicine, preventive health, which is the cornerstone of pediatrics and like primary care, what do you think about being exposed to and learning different treatment modalities, possibly that, you know, are based in like natural medicine, plant-based medicine, or learning from, you know, traditional healers? What do you currently know, if anything, about that? But what do you really hope to kind of gain from that?
I know, like, honey is my go-to. I love honey. Okay. So, you know, there's been studies that show that there's some antifungal properties to honey. So that's one of my go-tos. I want to learn more of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn more of that. As long as it makes sense evidence-based, because, you know, that's really important here.
Sure.
I'm really looking to learn different ways to treat
mm-hmm.
outside of what we learn and outside of what we know here in the United States. I think that'll be great. And whatever I learned there, to bring it back to how I practice, as whether like alternative or complementary, would be great. That's what I'm
looking for. Yeah, definitely. And, you know, just being able to have that exposure, to be open to something new. I think for a lot of us, you know, at least I know in my time during practice, sometimes you get so focused and have tunnel vision about what it is that you know and you know well, and that's what's how you've been trained, that a lot of times you don't open up your, you know, your eyes to other treatment modalities. So that's going to be really, really, really.
Yeah, I'm like open. You know, I'm just going to be a sponge and just kind of like take everything in. I'm going to blog, I'm going to write, I'm going to take pictures, video, so that, you know, I could just try and capture as much as I can and bring it back home.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, as we're getting ready for this trip and, you know, we finally have our feet on the soil there, and then after everything is sort of said and done, what do you expect, or what would be your best case scenario for like a positive outcome from our trip there, from our time that we spent there?
I really hope the students get as much information as they can from us. You know, I know we're gonna do a bang up job with our presentation. Like, I just know it's just gonna be great. And I know they're going to put their best foot forward for us as well. It's not just a one-way thing. It's going to be collaborative. And I think that's going to be the best. And we're going to bring out the best of each other, mm-hmm. right? That's what I think, you know, that's what I believe and what I feel. And you can't get better than that, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that collaboration as well. I think that's so important. It's just a whole nother way, again, of just thinking and being able to interact and be able to solve problems.
Right.
That's right. Being able to collaborate, with others. So
exactly.
Definitely looking forward to that. So anything else that you'd like to share about, you know, just your background or anything that you're looking forward to in the Gambia at all?
Like I said, I'm just looking, like when I went there the first time, I was on a cruise ship. So it was like a one day thing, a couple of hours, but I'm really looking for to just being there, having my foot planted, touring the food, the sights, making friends, hopefully, you know, it'll be nice.
Yes.
Looking for a place, maybe I want to retire. Start scouting places. So I've interacted with some Gambians here in the United States, and just wonderful. Just nice and wonderful people. So I'm excited to experience that on a greater level.
Yeah, absolutely. Possibilities are endless, right?
Absolutely. Yep. I agree.
Well, Dr. Randy, this has been a wonderful interview. Thank you for sharing your experience with us and your journey. I'm looking forward to collaborating with you there as well and spending time with you all. And, you know, not only for us building relationships or building closer relationships, but building new ones as well.
Yeah. It's definitely going to be like, we'll never forget it. We'll be bonded this way, which is going to be It's going to be amazing.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you in the Gambia.
Yes.
Okay. And you have a great rest of your day.
You too, Dr. Lisa. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening and for allowing us to be a part of your day. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to be the first to receive any new episodes as they are released.
Thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to support the Gambia Project, simply go to your browser and type gambiacollaborative.org. That's www.gambia, collaborative.org.
We hope you will join us on the road to the Gambia.
If you enjoyed podcasts like this, you should check out our other shows on Health Podcast Network. For example, Hopeful Hints, hosted by Dr. Tara, guides and supports those on the often challenging and isolating journey of women's health concerns and infertility. There's a particularly powerful episode that you should check out called All Things Endometriosis, which dives deep into understanding the condition to help the many women who suffer from endometriosis and have no idea they have it, and healthcare providers who are uneducated about it, making the diagnosis process so difficult. Check out Hopeful Hints on your favorite podcast platform or visit healthpodcastnetwork.com.